This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
We've got in the studio our next guest. We've got Simon Meadows here, who is another baritone.
Yes.
Now we've got Simon's here to talk about his show, Macbeth, which is on SBS.
It's called an opera.
Oh, sorry. Yes, opera.
The little show.
Opera, you know.
Oh, look, whatever gets anyone in the theatre, that's fine.
And Simon's here to talk about Macbeth, the Her Majesty's Theatre, which is on from the 18th of May. And Simon is part of Melbourne Opera.
Correct.
So welcome to the show, Simon.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.
It's lovely to have you here. And we obviously would like to start off by getting to know a little bit about you as a performer and as an artist. Now, How did you get started in opera and singing, and where did your love for music and the arts come about?
Oh, well, look, that came at a very early age when I was a Sydney boy, born and bred. Don't hold that against me. when I was 5 years old and I was at the school I attended, we were part of what they called the sort of group of schools that would sing in this mass choir event. And they held these concerts every year at the Sydney Town Hall. And we were rehearsing for one particular concert. I was 6 years old. So it was the second one I did. And we were rehearsing, and then the lady who was running the choir was walking in my vicinity and noticed. She said, "Everyone stop. I just want to hear this young boy sing," and picked my voice out.
Wow.
Which was quite, I was like, oh, wow, okay. Because, yeah. I mean, I always enjoyed singing, and it was something I really had a lot of fun doing, and then to suddenly be picked out. And then she said, "Well, look, what we want to do, we're going to sing, you know, Somewhere Over the Rainbow from The Wizard of Oz as part of our concert. We'd like to have you sing the first chorus as a solo, you know, for where it started with Somewhere Over the Rainbow." Mm. So that was, you know, that was my first, I guess, real introduction, and to singing in front of a live audience, a huge packed Sydney Town Hall. It was quite funny. I remember leading up to the show, I came down with a week to go with quite a bad cold.
Oh, no.
And so Aaron, mum and dad were sort of, oh, what do we do? You know, giving me all the sort of Lemsips and, you know, steam inhalation, all of that. But it was one of the, it just didn't, mum keeps telling me the story, just that never fazed me. You know, I thought, oh yeah, you know, it'll be fine. You know, the whole it'll be right on the night type sort of from such an early age. And it was, I got out there and just, it was one of those moments, I just enjoyed the moment. I wish, you know, my sort of older self could go. Well, not so much now. I'm, I think, a lot more experienced with stage nerves. But even in my 20s, I've had some sort of nerve. Not bad, but I was often, can I just refer back to that time when I was 6 years old and I sang in front of a mass audience at the Sydney Town Hall with a cold.
Yeah. And your voice didn't break?
No, not at all. Yeah, mum and dad still proudly have the vinyl LP and, you know, often bring it out to embarrass me at Christmas gatherings.
Yeah.
And
so,
but no, it's really nice. It's actually a really nice story. And really was the first time where I guess I was exposed to singing and classical singing and as a performer, as a soloist.
And so you then just followed it through with your schooling and then university.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
correct. That's right. And I went to, in Sydney, I went to high school at St Andrew's Cathedral School. So that had a, you know, very well-established choir, and which has also produced such luminary as Stuart Skelton, for example, famous Wagnerian tenor. Stuart was 3 years ahead of me at St Andrew's. So it's produced a few sort of opera singers who are still performing quite regularly today.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And are you're like a freelance singer? Tough world? Or are you doing okay?
I am actually doing okay. It is a tough, as you say, it's a very tough world. And I was listening to your interview with Michael Honeyman, fellow Australian baritone, before. And Michael said it right. That was, you know, COVID was a really tough time for all of us. I mean, not only were we a lot of us lost work. I mean, 2020 was going to be a huge year for me. I had lots of things booked up. I even had a couple of overseas you know, performances, which were taken away, sadly.
And we're actually saying to Michael that they probably won't be back for a couple of years now, the overseas.
At this stage, it's not looking good.
No.
Yeah, look, I've got to say, I would agree with that, unless something, you know, happens as far as, you know, the vaccines really hit well. But look, yeah, it's really tough. I don't see there's going to be a lot of travel for a while yet. I mean, I've been lucky, and well, look, not myself, but here in Australia, we're incredibly lucky because, I mean, really, we've... dodged a bullet, unlike Europe and America. Yeah. So we are very privileged to be in a position to have our theatres open. I mean, when we did, I was, of course, involved with Melbourne Opera's production of Das Rheingold earlier this year. And that was obviously my first show in front of a live audience back. And that was just a massive... the adrenaline once we all got there. We just all, I missed my singing. I really did when it was all, and I missed the audiences. I mean, look, I missed the whole bung lot, to be perfectly honest. But it was nice when that opening night of Das Rheingold, and when I walked out in the first scene as Alberich with the Rhine Maidens. I mean, just to feel the presence. Mm. I mean, there was enough lighting that we could see there was an audience there, but it was just such a buzz.
Yeah, it would. I'm getting goosebumps now thinking about it for you, because and such a famous opera as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So here you are, Melbourne Opera. Mm-hmm. I think I've heard of this one before, the one that you're part of. What's it called?
Oh, it is called, I can say it here, Macbeth.
Right. Who do you play?
I actually play Macbeth himself. Yes, yeah. I'm the title, as they call the title role.
Right, okay.
Another baddie to notch on my belt, I guess you could say, after Alberich.
We know Macbeth, of course, through Shakespeare.
Correct, yes.
Not as many people are aware of being an opera.
Interesting you should say that. That was Giuseppe Verdi, the composer of Macbeth.
Yep.
It was his first foray into setting a Shakespearean play, too. I mean, he ended up writing a couple of others, of course, Otello and Falstaff, which is taken from The Merry Wives of Windsor. But yes, that not a lot of people knew that that was, that it is an opera, and that, you know, one of the greatest composers of all, Giuseppe Verdi, set it to music with the help of libretto from Francesco Piave. But it's and this particular version is actually quite close to the Shakespeare.
Okay.
There's not a lot. I mean, I think the only real major differences in this, instead of there being three witches, it's a chorus.
Yeah.
It's the women chorusing in three groups. And I think that's probably the one, I guess, notable difference.
Yeah.
But essentially, the storyline is very much, it's very close.
A troubled man.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Oh, very much. Yeah, so I'm a little unfair saying he's bad. I mean, look, let's face it, he's bad. He gets all these people killed, and it catches up with him in the end.
And how do you, you know, like, put yourself in that mindset to play this villain that all of a sudden it starts affecting his mind as well? You know, like, a challenge, but a fantastic challenge for you.
Look, absolutely. I mean, it's a good question, but I think the thing is that I find the villains, I guess, if you want to sort of in inverted commas, the most fun and the most interesting. They're always the most interesting characters in opera, because things happen because of their actions, what they do. I've sort of played a few villains in my time, and obviously, I mean, before Macbeth, there was Alberich wasn't exactly a nice guy either. And then I've done the Count in The Marriage of Figaro, of course. That's, you know, and then there's good old Tarquinius and the Rape of Lucretia, and, you know, the title says itself as to what Tarquinius got up to.
But generally operas are quite often love stories, but not with the baddies being involved in the love story. Like Madame Butterfly, what a bastard he was.
Well, this is it, and it's, look, it's quite interesting. Everyone, Pinkerton is probably the worst character I think in opera, and a lot of internationals I spoke to said, oh no, they shouldn't boo him, you know, he sings the most lovely music. I said, well, his music's lovely, but what an asshole. You know, he really is. And in a lot of it's interesting, I think Michael was also talking about the audience getting into the story. And a lot of Australian audiences, when Pinkerton, in a couple of productions of Butterfly that I've been involved in, when Pinkerton has come out, he has been booed. And I think a few internationals, artists that came out, that were a bit sort of taken back by that. But, you know, I said, hey, no, this is what happens here. You know, they really get into who the bad guys are. And Yeah, it was. I thought that was nice. I didn't get booed when I played Albury. I think everyone was so happy to see, to be in an audience, to watching live theatre again.
Exactly. And in that beautiful theatre.
No, it was actually that we were at the Regent. But the Palais, I sang at the Palais. Yeah. Yes, that's a nice theatre too.
Now, how important is this opera company for Melbourne?
Oh, extremely important for a lot of local singers getting work. They put on these operas like Macbeth and then Dust Rheingold, and it allows local singers like myself to sing these major roles.
Exactly.
Which doesn't often happen at the moment. And it's for me, it's just great. So I can sink my teeth into a great role as I have like Alberich. Mm-hmm. And for Macbeth, well, this actually won't be my first Macbeth. It actually will be my second Macbeth. When I was living in London over 10 years ago, I did do a production of Macbeth. People who know me wouldn't actually realize, but it was in English. So I have not done it in the original language. So this is the great correction that's happening I finally get to do this role in its original language.
How different was it singing it in English? Because it wasn't written in English.
No, correct.
It?
Yeah, and that's you hit the point right there. It was fine to sing, but it really, for me, it wasn't the same because Verdi wrote it with a libretto in mind, with Italian, in mind.
And it should be
absolutely, absolutely. Look, that's absolutely my opinion as well. But I think this was a small regional company. It was in a town called Newbury, which is 2 hours west of London. If you go straight across the M4, if you're on your way to Bristol or something like that, you'll hit Reading and then you'll hit Newbury on your way. So that's where. And I think because it was a small town, they wanted to do it in English so people could. It was a bit more accessible. And that's fine. I get that, and I don't have a problem performing. Yeah. Operas like that. I prefer, obviously, to perform them in the original language, but I don't want to sound like a snob like that, because if whatever's accessible to an audience, that's great.
And how important is it for you right this moment in time? You've obviously had a couple of good months with operas.
Yes.
But, finding a role, getting this role must be pretty cool for you.
Oh, very, very cool. I mean, I wasn't initially going to be doing this, but it happened actually just as we were finishing Das Rheingold. The artistic director of Melbourne Opera, Greg Hocking, approached me and said, look, it turns out that we need a Macbeth. How would you be interested in doing it? And I said, well, yeah, I'm very interested in doing it. But at the time I was, I hadn't signed any contract, mind you, but I was potentially going to be doing something else with another company. But it was a role that I'd already done. So, and being that I'd done Macbeth, I hadn't done it in Italian. So here was the chance. And so I thought, look, I think this can work. And I think one of the great things about the success of Das Rheingold for me was I now have a new agent. And so I discussed that with her. Macbeth has just been offered, and so we had a chat, and she, through her wise words, said, well, this is an opportunity. Yeah. It's not going to come off too often. And, I've said that we had a little bit of a chat about financial arrangements, but I said, well, look, that's why I've got you now as an agent. I'll let you deal with that. And we were able to find the right medium.
Yep. Fantastic.
And it also means, as well as doing Macbeth, not doing this particular opera that I was meant to be involved in, I can now also work for Victorian Opera in August doing Voss. They're bringing back that great Australian composer Richard Mille's opera Voss, which I think the last time was done was 1986. Yep. I do stand corrected, but I believe that was the last time. So this is it's a great honour to be asked to be involved in Voss. Yeah. So it means I can do that now, because that was potentially not going to happen if I was doing another piece that
and,
I was meant to
and
do.
Where is Macbeth performing?
So Macbeth is going to be at Her Majesty's Theatre.
Beautiful theatre.
Another
famous, famous theatre.
Yep.
That portrait as you come up the staircase of...
Oh, is it? It's Dame Joan, is it? Or
no, it's not.
I haven't been in there for many years, stating my ignorance.
Dame Joan.
Oh, not is it? Not is
Dame
it the
Melba.
Oh, Melanelli Melba. Yes, and I did, because I've not performed at the Regent. Oh, when was the last? Her Majesty. Sorry, the last time was in. Golly, I mean, we're going back about 15, 16 years.
Well, you've got to go and check this paint. It's absolutely beautiful.
I will
beautiful.
Definitely. Because we hit the theatre in about just over a week's time, so I will see Dame Nellie Melba.
won't miss it.
No, I bet. Right, I bet, one of our great icons, absolutely.
Well, lovely to have you on the show, and a big major role for you,
yeah,
which is
huge.
Great.
Yeah, thank you.
And it's from the 18th of May.
It is, yes. The four shows, so the 18th, the 20th, the 23rd, and the 26th of May. And that's the one that's also being live streamed and also with virtual, those who have their virtual reality glasses. Whoa. This is apparently a world first. Apparently, as I was just discussing before, at the promotional event we had, Bruce Beresford was just knocked sideways when he put the glasses on. It literally was. It's like, oh my goodness. Oh, wow. Oh, you know, this is a Aussie movie director legend, Bruce Beresford.
Will that be available to some of the audiences at the virtual reality
club? Well, it'll be available to anyone. Whoever can access it. Yeah. There'll be, I think the details haven't been released yet, but there'll be online details, sure. Which are forthcoming imminently. Mm. But yeah, and also, I mean, I think the other thing is doing this role, I mean, as I just mentioned, Bruce Beresford, legendary Australian film director, directing opera. So yeah. I'm like a kid in the candy store. You know, it's really amazing.
I hear he's just a wonderful person.
Terrific. So, he's a lovely man, and he's very, he's very, very quick, but also just getting about being that he's a film man. He's about the keeping it all very conversational, I like that approach. I mean, because there can be, as you know, opera has been known in the past as the old park and bark and stanza. So it's not been like that for a while now, but Bruce has just also brought that home a lot more. Keep it conversational, make sure you're reacting to what each other is saying. And as we all know, but he's just, that's just been his thing with everyone in rehearsals, is making sure just to keep it conversational.
All right, so you've got to go down to Her Majesty's to check out Macbeth and support one of our local opera companies.
Absolutely.
Which is more important.
Yes, very, very important.
Simon, thanks so much for coming in.
My pleasure, David. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. We've been talking to Simon Meadows here on Joy 94.9 Sunday Arts Magazine.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.